The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
The 2015 NFL season unofficially underway as the NFL Scouting Combine rolls on in Indianapolis. We've got an hour to discuss a lot of different things in regards to the Bears that we've learned over the last 2 days. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. We're joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller down at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And moments from now, we'll be talking with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. We'll start with Jim. Over the last 2 days, Jim, what stands out to you in terms of the things that you've heard in regards to the Bears specifically?
Well, I think John Fox openly came out and said, hey, we will be running a 3-4 defense for the Chicago Bears. And Tom and I over the past couple weeks have talked about the versatility, the flexibility of running a 3-4 defense. And I think John Fox was also open and honest about now it's really about figuring out what pieces of the puzzle of personnel and how are they going to fit the current roster of the Chicago Bears. And, you know, being noncommittal about Jay Cutler, they still have to do their due diligence in terms of homework. I brought it up to numerous people down here that have come and questioned me about it. You know, it's not like John Fox doesn't have a deep Rolodex that Tom Thayer and I have been talking about. They can talk to previous coaches that have ran through Chicago. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses of Jay Cutler? Get all those facts from previous offensive coordinators, other coaches that have worked with Jay Cutler, and really then create their game plan of what type of offense they are going to utilize if Jay Cutler is going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
And, you know, that's my big question for both Jim and Jeff, because they're down at the combine and they have firsthand eye contact with the guys who are making the statements. Because being a Bears fan forever, you're just so used to the style of defense that they were so accustomed to playing and the history of great players that they cultivated because of that style of play. Now they're getting ready to make a change. I think it's going to capture the audience of a lot of football fans because it is a big-time change when you're talking about a 3-4 defense as opposed to 4-3. But when you hire a new coaching staff, nobody is guaranteed anything. I could probably give you three guys that I guarantee you will have their positions next year with a new coaching staff, a new physical training camp, a new evaluation. So I want to know from these guys, what is the bigger debate? The 3-4 defense, is the not committal to one player or one position because he's not committing to any player or any position.
Let's find out a little bit more.
Right.
Joining us now is the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. And Jeff, the key buzzwords that we've heard this offseason from ownership on down, sustained success. And that's the reason why we've been hearing some of the things that we've been hearing from both the general manager and the head coach.
It's beyond that. It's just what Tom said. There's no need at the moment to make any statements about any player. I mean, this is an evaluation period, and it's not just cliche. These guys have the unique opportunity, a golden opportunity with no attachment to any player to make clean decisions. I made the comparison of, you know, you're doing a paint job on your house. You got to make sure, you know, the house is clean. It's got to be washed. All the dirt's got to come off. You got to have a clean surface for that paint to attach. And these guys are building the foundation of so hopefully sustained success, but it's the process, and it is a process every single year. But when you get an entirely new staff with so many new sets of eyes on it, from the pro personnel department to the college department to Ryan Pace to all these new coaches, all these veteran coaches that are experienced, have experience and trained eyes, these guys are not newbies. This is an opportunity to make sure they know what they have. But more importantly, as they get through all these individual meetings with these guys, and they said they've virtually met with almost everyone, who they are. And that's as important as anything. And I think Jim and Tom would agree with that.
But, Jeff, does it surprise you that they met with Josh McCown? Does it surprise you that in what way did they meet with him? Is there serious consideration that he could be a starter? Or is it he's the perfect go-between between the best of Jay Cutler to the coaching staff, and he's a great go-between. Is that what we're looking at?
John Fox said they were, if they weren't interested, they would have never taken the meeting. So Josh is meeting with a bunch of teams, so he's doing his due diligence. He has a great opportunity because he's a free agent before free agency starts in March, and he's in a unique spot for the first time to really, you know, make his own decisions based on other teams' interest and his own interest. So he's going to meet with a bunch of teams, and I know he's met with a bunch of teams already. And I think all of the above, because you got to have a guy who can step in as a starter. Even if he has an opportunity again as a starting quarterback, you know, those opportunities are rare. But I think he's, you know, got enough of a resume that he could do that even in a short-term, short-stop situation.
Well, Jeff, what do you make of it? They come out, they announce, hey, we do have a plan, and it's going to be a 3-4 defense. Now,
yeah,
in terms of personnel, where do all these puzzle or pieces to the puzzle fit? It could be by trial and error. Well, it could be by trial and error. It sounds like John Fox says, hey, we'll wait till even if they get on the field, and we'll mix and match, and we'll figure it out in terms of the evaluation of where these pieces are going to fit into the puzzle.
Right, and I think that's the best way to look at it. I think you guys would agree, have these guys show what they can do, what's the skill set and in this particular scheme, and what ideas Vic Fangio and the rest of the defensive staff come up with. That's the one thing when I've talked to people here today and on Tuesday and Monday and Wednesday is that this guy's creative. So he's going to come up with a bunch of different options, and versatility is going to be a big word as well for this defense and what these guys can do. And I think it's exciting. I think it's another unique opportunity to maybe enhance some of the skill sets of the guys currently on the roster. And I know Bears fans and everybody involved here are going to be very excited to see what happens in the personnel procurement here in the next 2.5-3 months. And then when they get on the field, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. First time in Bears history to have a 3-4. And the first thing that pops in my head, you know, is I think of pass rushes. You know, I think of covering some of these Super Bowls and seeing some of the size of these outside linebackers that still rush the passer and still are good enough to stop the run, those big power ends and the big old nose tackle that you got to have it work. That's exciting. Something different.
Jeff, you know, my question again, you guys being down there, how do you keep from being enamored with the – is it Shelton? Is that the big defensive tackle from Washington?
Shelton from Washington.
Okay, but then you got – you know what that position means to the success of that style of defense. And then you think of guys like Haloti Ngata with the Ravens, and then the guy up in with the Denver Broncos. So you know how instrumental that piece is when you're putting together a 3-4 defense. Talk me off the ledge of being enamored with him, because I've already seen him in the Senior Bowl. So now you talk about edge rushers.
Yeah, I know. Well, they mentioned Jeremiah Ravis, so he's done it. He's been a nose tackle on a 3-4. So if he's in the mix to help lead the next wave of defensive linemen they bring in here. But why do you say talk you off the ledge? Do you not like him?
No, I do, but it seems like you become enamored with a name that they've been talking about now for a couple weeks, and then it just gets bigger. And I think that when he goes through drills, he's going to open some eyes, because it's only drills. It's not sustained drive. So I think he'll even have a higher profile at the end of the combine.
Jim, why... here's the name I keep hearing about from everybody down here. And all these other teams have shows, not just, you know, your show, Jim, on Sirius. I know you think you're the only game in town, but that's not the case. Dante Fowler, all these guys, scouts are talking up this guy. Perfect fit for the Bears, Dante Fowler. So we're going to see him later in the week, and you'll get a chance to interview him, Jim. You know, what are you hearing about Dante Fowler is one of those outside linebacker possibilities for the Bears. He's just 20-year-old out of Florida, and we'll see what he measures in at, but over 6'2 and 265.
Yeah, well, you look at him, he's a good pass rusher. Randy Gregory from Nebraska, he can play in a 3-4. They did a lot of 33 nickel out there at Nebraska, and he's probably considered, in terms of freakish ability, he's up there. Because we're talking about linebackers, normally whether it's a 3-4 or 4-3, 9 times out of 10, a team's going to keep, you know, realistically about 9 linebackers on the roster. So it's going to be more than one guy. But I hear a lot of good things about Fowler, and those decisions will, you know, ultimately be made. I mean, here the Bears have the 7th pick overall in the draft. I don't think we can rule out quarterback. I don't think we can rule out anything for
no,
Chicago
you're right.
at this point.
Nor should you.
Yeah, and so, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think the plan will start to come in place, and the focus concerning the draft will come together. I think we all agree it probably will be on the defensive side of the ball, because the offense looks set, but quarterback would be one position that he's left out there. I think the biggest thing that I come with the away from the impression of what John Fox and his impact has made already. One, we know he comes with the credentials, and I think he's already backing it up, Jeff, and I'd like to get your response on this, whether it's, even if it's, I don't call them shots, but it's letting the players know there's a new sheriff in town, and there are new rules that are going to have to be followed. And I'll specifically bring up Brandon Marshall. He's a talented wide receiver, but right away, John Fox just said, no, we want the focus to be on football. It's not in New York for inside the NFL or any other project a player's going to be doing, because I think that has taken away some focus from the Bears locker room, where really their task at hand and where they get paid and what feeds their mouth and their family and their kids is playing football to the best of their ability.
Right, and I believe that that's also the same message for all 53 guys or how many ever on that roster. So
right.
No one's going to be trying to take over that locker room in their own way. It's going to be John Fox's way, period. And that's what has to be. And you have to respect that. And it's interesting because not only he, but in how Ryan Pace delivered it. He paused and then said, hey, we want guys that are totally committed, passionate about football. And when you start doing your evaluations as fans, and you know you can't get enough draft information out there, everybody's got something, you start learning about these guys. I'm looking for a couple keywords from the people that I respect that analyze this stuff: toughness, and I want to know that these guys are football intelligent, and I want to know that they have a passion for the game. I sometimes get disappointed when I hear a young man say he's not a fan of the NFL, he didn't watch it, never was interested in it. You know, to me, then it just sounds like a guy who's going to work every day. I want a guy passionate about football. And I know I can't have 53 guys like that. That's an idealistic idea. But I certainly want guys that are super hungry, guys who want to be difference makers, guys that are tough, nasty, and physical. Am I asking for too much, fellas?
Never.
Our final few moments here with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. You've had an opportunity not to talk to every single prospect that's been out there at the Combine, but I'm sure you've heard a lot of good stories from the different kids that have gone up to the podium. What's the coolest one that you've heard so far?
Well, it's not about the coolest one. And Jim's meeting every one of these guys, right? Again, because he is the only show in town. He's on the corner of Maine and
I'm evidently not doing as well as you, Jeff, as you're getting ready to eat at St. Elmo's.
So they come right off the podium and right to Big Jim, as they should. So he's getting all the big names. But I'll just say this. Just coming off the Super Bowl, and Tom, we talked about this. I love giving some praise and shout-out to the Chicago area kids that make it to the NFL. It's such a hard thing to do, and there's no easy way to get there. And some of these guys, it's just quite a long shot, and they find a way, whether it's on a practice squad or whatnot. So Just today alone, we talked to Titus Davis. He's from Wheaton Warrenville South High School, Central Michigan wide receiver. He's 6'1", 196. At Wheaton Warrenville, he didn't get on the field. He was talented, didn't get on the field, lost his confidence, finally got on the field as a senior. They won the state championship in 2010. He gets very little offers, all from MAC school. Central Michigan brings him in. But he had no confidence. He admitted he had no confidence. He just didn't believe that he was good enough, and then it clicked, and now he's here at the Combine. To me, that's a success story. Andy Gallo, the center from Brother Rice, Evergreen Park kid. Tom, you'll love it. He's a center. The first time he took a snap at center in his life was on the first day of practice at Boston College, and calls himself a nasty play to the echo of the whistle guy. Said that's the way you got to be growing up on the South Side. Deron Brown, he's a wide receiver from Morgan Park High School, was a quarterback there, ran for 41 touchdowns in that school's history, the greatest performance, really, in terms of career, in terms of touchdowns. He's from NIU, wide receiver, thinks he's getting knocked on his feet, feels he's a good route runner. And then DeVaris Daniels, he's got some explaining to do, I guess, in terms of what happened in Notre Dame after missing last season at academic suspension. You know, he feels he can be a wide receiver in the NFL. He measured in at 6'1", 201. So that's what I focused on today. There's still many more guys from the area. Melvin Gordon talked today. He's just over the border from Kenosha. Trey Waynes, how about that, Jim? Same high school. Those guys went to the same high school in Kenosha.
And Trey Wayans is one of the top corners coming out of Michigan State. Press man guy, can do pretty much everything. He is going to impress down here at the Combine. And, you know, I had an opportunity, as Jeff said, I interviewed a lot of guys today. We'll dive into more players tomorrow. And, of course, I focus on the quarterbacks because that's an issue for the Chicago Bears. Today I interviewed Marcus Mariota. I hope to have the opportunity tomorrow to talk to Jameis Winston from Florida State. And Marcus is an incredible young man. We know the leadership. We know the skill sets. He's a very soft-spoken young man. So, you know, I felt, you know, when you sat down with him, he's very humble, comes from a good upbringing, has a very good support system in his family. So who knows if he does slide, and everybody assumes that. I don't think he's still out of the mix for the number one spot for Lovie Smith and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but potentially the Bears may have a shot at one of those quarterbacks. The other guy who's my dark horse and who I talked to down at the Senior Bowl that I think everybody should start to take a look at, and we know the other characters. There's Bryce Petty from Baylor. Oh, he's talented. There's no doubt about that, but I like this Shane Carden from East Carolina.
You and Tom.
He can play football, and he's an accurate passer and above-average athlete. And he grew on me down at the Senior Bowl, and I like him more and more and consider that his stock will rise. I'm not saying he's going in the top three rounds, but if he's there in round three, round four, if you have a chance to select him, he's a guy who's really grown on me, and I like what he does in a very thin quarterback class.
You mentioned Bryce Petty, and when he stood at the podium today, that's an engaging guy. You talk about kind of the polar opposite in terms of having that charismatic tone and really handling things well with a smile on his face and very animated is Bryce Petty. And then I was surprised, Tom and Jim, how big Brett Hundley is. I mean, he's a little over 6'3", big hands for a quarterback. That's always good news, right, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was very confident. He was very, very confident. Feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder already, like he's not going to get picked where he thinks he should get picked, and we're 2.5 months away from the draft. That stuck out to me.
Great stuff. Jeff, thank you so much. And why don't you just have dinner with Jim? I mean, come on. You guys are both in Indianapolis. Make it happen.
Jim, you know, he runs with a different crowd. I got to get special dispensation.
Right, you got to get laminated to eat with Jim Miller.
I don't know about that.
Run. Hey, there's one thing I can guarantee. In the next 48 hours, I gotta believe I'll run into you at some point.
Yes, we will, my friend. So we'll catch up and definitely talk shop, no doubt about it. Enjoy your dinner and order a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's, my friend.
That's an automatic.
Thanks, you guys.
The voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, spending some time with us. We're lucky we've got Jim Miller for the entire show. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, rolls on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrunia and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. We've got Jim Miller down at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. You know, I heard Jim yesterday talking with Ryan Clark, who just retired.
Correct.
Longtime safety in the NFL, spent last season with the Washington Redskins. And I bring that up because in listening to him, he knew it was time to say goodbye. And yesterday, when both John Fox and Ryan Pace were asked about the futures of Charles Tillman and Lance Briggs, longtime Bears, had a lot of success on the defensive side of the ball for more than a decade with the Bears, they prefaced everything they said by calling them great Bears in the past, and it's clear that there seems to be a break going forward. The Bears are turning the page. How do you know when it's time to say goodbye?
Well, first of all, you have to be naive not to think it's coming. With the history of injuries in the past couple years, the evolution of the positions, the requirements of your job, the ability to keep up with the requirements of your job. And like I said, when a new coaching staff comes in, nothing's guaranteed. And we've all lived through that. I lived through the Dave Wanstead transition when I was cut by Wanstead and went on to play for the Miami Dolphins. But again, you can't be naive. You have to know what you're capable of getting done during the offseason to make sure your body's ready for the regular season. Or if you have that niche of doubt about yourself, you're done. And that's the thing about it. If you're an old man, you got a niche of doubt, you're done.
And I think this, John Fox knows this is a 3-year plan. You know, and for Mark Trestman, it only lasted 2 years. So what do you know for a new coach, whether you're Jack Del Rio, a guy like John Fox or Dan Quinn or any of these new coaches, they know they have to get younger. You have to get younger as a team. Look at the Seattle Seahawks as an example. They churned through their roster. They were the youngest team age-wise to make the Super Bowl, and that was Super Bowl 48 when they won it against the Denver Broncos. So it's a three-year plan. Let's get younger. Let's get faster. Let's get bigger. And then develop these young players that we're going to put on this roster and then see where it all shakes out in terms of the development after 3 years. That was Pete Carroll's plan. It took him 4 years to do it. But I think that is the trend in the National Football League. The New England Patriots reloaded last year. I mean, they got younger as a football team. When you look at all the guys that they've drafted, from Chandler Jones to Jamie Collins, and I could go even adding an undrafted free agent, Malcolm Butler, who makes the great plays in the Super Bowl. They got younger as a football team,
John
and
Fox,
I think that's the trend.
John Fox, Jim, has always been known as a guy who's been able to quickly turn around programs. When he went to Carolina, took over a one-win team 2 years later, had him in the Super Bowl, but was able to get Julius Peppers in his first draft with Carolina. He goes to Denver, his first draft there, they get Von Miller, and he made the playoffs every single season after taking over a four-win team. He's got the seventh overall pick this time around, and the most important thing the Bears announced publicly yesterday is the switch over to the 3-4 defense. What do you need? What's the most important piece, the engine that makes that defense go? If you have the seventh overall pick, are you going edge rusher, or is it more important to solidify the middle, because the Bears have been awful at stopping the run over the last couple of years?
Well, that's what we've always solidified, or we talk about. If it's going to be a true 3-4, i.e. the New England Patriots, or say a Romeo Crennel style of defense that he's always running in a 3-4, if it's a true 3-4, it's the zero technique. It starts there. You've got to be able to have a nose tackle that can two-gap, clog up both a center and a guard at the same time. Both A-gaps on both sides of the center is what I'm talking about. And, you know, yes, there are a couple guys that we've mentioned that are on the Bears roster, Jeremiah Ratliff, but it's always been in a stunting 3-4, like what Wade Phillips has utilized Jeremiah Ratliff down in Dallas, where you slant and stunt the defensive line. Jeremiah Ratliff can also play the 5 technique. He did that previously also down in Dallas. So I'm not saying that they won't, you know, Danny Shelton's a name that has been brought up. There are other guys, Jordan Phillips from Oklahoma, I think is a zero technique. He reminds me a lot of Ted Washington, who played him not only a 4-3, but a 3-4 also for New England as a zero technique. But if it's going to be that style of traditional 3-4, then I would say it's the zero technique that they'll focus on first.
You know, I agree with that, Jim, because you need that guy that, you know, a big zero technique nose guard can really take up three positions. When you're talking about each guard has to have some responsibility along with the center every time you're trying to get him blocked, stopped, or moved if you want to run a play from really the outside shoulder of one offensive guard to the other. But you know what? We've come to be enamored with the Vic Fangio defense is when you look at Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis and you think about the lateral speed of inside linebackers that can chase anybody down, or even the linebackers in his past of the New Orleans Saints or something, it'll be fun to see him get the characters that are going to fulfill the needs of those positions, because ultimately when you look at those interior three, if you want to talk about a 3-4 defense or a great 3-4 defense, that's what's going to take that interior to get everybody else started.
Jim Miller's along, so's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zibner. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. When we come back, we're going to play Ask Tom. It means rapid-fire questions for you, from you to Tom Thayer, with Jim Miller as the judge. At the end of the segment, the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. As we go to the break here, Jim, real quick, the reason that the Bears say they're going to a 3-4 is because, unlike the traditional 4-3, where you know exactly where the edge rush is coming from, now you can play around and you're not as predictable. No one knows where the edge rusher is going to be coming from in a 3-4 defense. That's what's going to be fun next year.
No doubt. It's the versatility. It can really be utilized in various ways to attack protection schemes on the offensive side of the ball. And you're right, it can create havoc and confusion. But the array of blitzes are more, and they're more in-depth in terms of a 3-4 versus a 4-3.
Is it any more difficult to audible versus a 3-4 as a 4-3 defense?
No, I don't think it's more difficult to audible, but I do. You have to be aware of more in terms of the array of blitzes. So you better be coordinated on offense and be on the same page. And with all these young quarterbacks, it's difficult to do. And there's a lot of young offensive linemen playing as well. A lot of times you need an experienced veteran quarterback to really do the audibles and things like that to pick up those blitz schemes versus a 3-4.
Ask Tom is next. Dial him up, 312-644-6767. Bears All Access on the Score. You can hit the beach on vacation with your favorite Chicago Bears players at the Rio Guanacaste Resort in Costa Rica. Join Patrick O'Donnell, Willie Young, Kyle Fuller, and other Bears players this March. To book your trip, visit applevacations.com/Bears. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. He's down in Indianapolis. And we've got 85 Bear Tom Thayer. It is time to play Ask Tom. Rapid fire phone calls from you. Questions for Tom Thayer. Anything in the world of football is fair game. At the end of the 10-minute segment, Jim Miller will pick a winner. That winner with the best question gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right, let's do it. We will begin in Bloomington. Brian, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Tom. Do you see any value of Shea McClellan being an edge rusher now that they're moving to a 3-4 since that's what he did at Boise State?
You know, Brian, that's a good question. He's asking about Shea McClellan and what he's going to be able to do if he's going to be an outside rusher. You know, when you think of an outside rusher right now in your mind, I you know, you think of guys that have a little bit different credentials than Shea McClellan on an NFL level. I don't know if he's big enough to get on the inside of a 34 defense to take on shed blockers and get in the way of the ball carrier. And I don't know if he has the pass coverage responsibilities of an outside linebacker. So I think that's going to be one of the determinations of training camp. I think he's has the skill to be out there and see what position is best decided for him. But it's going to be about Shea earning it. I don't think he is going to have the opportunity to be given anything.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on with John in Streamwood.
Hey, John.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Would the Bears benefit more by taking Mariota if he's available at the 7th pick, or should they try to trade that pick to maybe get a few more draft picks or maybe another player or two to help out their defense? Thanks for taking my call.
You know, that's a good question because I believe you can always increase value if you get a quarterback and you don't need him, but he's good. Other teams want him, and all of a sudden you increase. Do you want more picks at that point, or do you want to have a position that maybe is going to help your team immediately, or if you don't need the need, increase value? So I'll defer that one to the judge later on, not now, to see if maybe he's got an exact thought of what he would do.
Yeah, the former quarterback, Jim Miller, met with the current quarterback, Marcus Mariota, out in Indianapolis. We'll get his thoughts coming up in our next segment. Ask Tom rolls on at 312-644-6767. Bloomington, Rich, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Tom. Hey, guys. The Bears need picks, so I'm trading. I know I'm trading Marshall. Who can I package with him to get a 3 or better? And would you trade Forte with him? Thanks.
Wow, you're in an interesting position there. I heard there was trade that they were talking about trading the running back or not re-signing the running back from Dallas and drafting one. So I don't think I think when you come up with a new coaching staff, everybody is tradable. I think if you could package a deal, you know, Matt is not untouchable, but he's got the credentials and the qualities in the background that you would really like to have him on your football team. He's one of the most dedicated guys to the sport. What you have to do in the off season to put his body through during the regular season. So I like Matt, but I do think there are some packageable type players here that would capture the interest of people.
Tom is on the south side. Ask Tom. Tom.
Hey, Tom.
My question is, if we were able to trade Jay Cutler, let's say, to Cleveland or Tennessee, let's say, for like a fifth-round draft pick, would any of Jay's – would he affect our salary cap next year?
You know,
it would hurt the Bears a lot more if they traded him as opposed to if they cut him. But you got to remember, there are not a lot of teams that can bring in Jay Cutler's salary, and that's part of the issue as well.
There goes your answer.
312-644-6767. Jim in Milwaukee. Ask Tom here on Bears All Access.
Yeah,
hey, Jim.
Hi. Assuming, Tom, that we take a defensive player in the first round, take care of business on that. In the second round, and I don't want you to tip your hand in terms of your particular preference, but suppose that they chose an offensive guard to help protect Cutler a little more. Who would be your top three choices?
Boy, the guy from Duke is getting a lot of interest, and he's a Chicago product. I don't know. You know, are you going to draft a guard in college and then start him as a guard, or are you going to get a guy like Kyle Long that has superior size and athleticism and turn him into a guard to get more control inside this division? So, you know, I don't know. I would have to go out there and I would have to look at the best athletes, even if you're an offensive tackle and you may be a little undersized, but, you know, I don't have the exact names of specific other than the guy from Duke getting a lot of
couple of things to keep in mind here. Matt Slauson comes back from injury. The Bears will hold. They get to hold two mini camps because they made a coaching change. The first mini camp will take place the week of the draft. So the final day of the first voluntary mini camp, which will be the first time this coaching staff sees these Bears players on the grass. The last day of that mini camp is the first day of the NFL draft. And I think that was probably done on purpose. So now you have a really good idea of what your players are like before you make those final decisions on the young players.
It would be hard to go out there and draft a guy that has more experience and more size than Matt Slauson. So, again, I'm going to evaluate my own personnel first before I go out there and think I can get a rookie in the second round to come in and be a day one starter. It's not impossible. We've seen it done especially in this example of Jordan and Kyle Long, but it's been done.
Two more callers here on Ask Tom. Judge Jim Miller writing furiously, and I'll bet you he wants to answer some of these questions too. Lafayette, Wayne, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, guys, what's going on? What a chance to talk to some great people here, boy. I'm thankful. Hey, I wanted to know if you think like I think. If Cutler gets a chance to play, I think he's going to shut some people up. I think he's going to light up the scoreboard. I think he's going to play his tail off just to show some people he can still play. And I think maybe even Marshall could even, I don't know, you know, but definitely Cutler. I think if they give him a chance, he's really going to light up the scoreboard. And do you think the same thing, Tom?
You know, Wayne, I like what you're thinking, because I do think if you go in there like the Denver Broncos or John Fox's team and the emphasis on the running game, I do think you take pressure off of Jay and you can probably increase his threat downfield or the more defined pass routes that he's going to see in the huddle and call. But instead of making him the most important, again, I always say make it the offensive line and Matt Forte, and that's when you're going to increase the value of Jay Cutler.
Our final contestant on Ask Tom, we go to St. Charles. Nick, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Doing a great show, man. Great show. Anyway, my question was, if it's, you know, in a new defense that would be a 3-4, players like Willie Young and John Bostic, now I'm not comparing the two because Willie Young I think is a much better player, but are they athletic enough that they could be utilized, maybe kicked outside as rushers, or would they be full-time players?
I see Jonathan Bostic being one of the starting inside linebackers. And when I think of a player that has the speed to go laterally as quick as anybody on the team, Jonathan Bostic has that speed. I think if a coach gets in his head, starts creating some confidence in the young guy, allows him to understand that he's earned his way in the NFL field, now start playing up to your athleticism, I think Bostic can be a fit. And Willie Young, he's really dynamic. He could be a really long defensive end for you and put pressure on the offensive tackles that now have to worry about the threat of outside blitzes from a 34 defense or trying to peek inside to see if he can help in there. So I think Willie Young has some diversity to him where he could be an outside. He's got enough athleticism to be an outside linebacker type guy. But I think He can also take advantage of some offensive tackles with his length.
And he's got to get healthy. Remember, late in the year, he got hurt with the Achilles, and that's an injury that takes a little bit of time to get back on the field. All right, time to pick a winner. Jim, you listened to all the callers. We had a variety of different topics. Who wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority?
I'm going to go with Jim in Milwaukee. Talked about the Bears drafting a defensive player in the first round, then come back the second round if he did want to draft offensive lineman. I will add a caveat to this because you brought up Lincoln Tomlinson from Duke is who you brought up, Tom, who is considered one of the top guards. He's projected to go in the second round. I'd also throw in Can from South Carolina.
Right.
Or if the Bears just wanted to sit at number seven, if they did want to think about taking a left guard, he's everybody lists him as a tackle out of LSU, but Lyle Collins is actually projected to be the best left guard in this draft. So it could be vice versa. If you're going to take one, I'd want to take the best one, and that'd be Lyle Collins if the Bears did want to select a guard. I also, when we come back, I want to talk about John from Streamwood and what he was alluding to about Mariota at the number seven pick.
Yeah, you had an opportunity to talk to him, and did what we hear, like everything we heard from the Bears yesterday, is it in large part due to the fact that there's a possibility Mariota could be available at seven? So we'll discuss that with Jim Miller next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg, Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, we've got our man, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, down at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I'm Zach Sedman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So the big question becomes Marcus Mariota. I think there's a belief, and I heard Jim say something that this may change this belief, but most people around the NFL believe that the Buccaneers will take Jameis Winston with the first overall pick. But Jim, earlier in the show, did you not say there's a possibility that the Buccaneers may consider Mariota with the number one pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think overall, in terms of athleticism, Jameis Winston is the more, naturally gifted athlete. He just has rare God-given abilities, and everybody's going to say at Florida State they run more pocket passing. And yes, in terms of evaluating, more does translate from Jameis Winston to Mariota, but it's not like Mariota is not working on these things. Everybody knows that he's going to, all these bullet holes are being shot and being shot at him right now because of his style of offense of the Oregon Ducks. And what do we know about that offense? It's really quick quarterback decisions. That's not his fault he's had to run that offense. You need to, as a coach, and the Bears will, just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will, they'll have a private workout where they get Marcus Mariota on the board and they talk X's and O's. And they take him down and they go through three-step passing game, five-step passing game, seven-step drops, and then see what he learns out on that board. And then when they take him out on the field to do their private workout to see if he can apply it. Because one thing we know about Marcus Mariota, he is an extremely intelligent young man. And I was very impressed with him. He talked about that to me today. He said, that's all I've been working on because I know this is what they want to see from me. So, the other reason why I bring up Tampa is Dirk Cutter, who is now their offensive coordinator, comes over from the Atlanta Falcons. Does everybody forget that when he was coaching down in Arizona, Mark Helfrich, who's the head coach at Oregon, that was his OC. Dirk Cutter was the head coach. Mark Helfrich was the OC under Dirk Cutter. So all the intel that Dirk Cutter is going to need and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to need, not only will be supplied by Jimbo Fisher, the head coach of Florida State, but Mark Helfrich is going to give them all the information they need as well to make an educated decision on if the kid's traits and what he can do, can it be translated to the National Football League? Marcus has more questions, or just as many questions to be answered from a scheme standpoint as Jameis Winston has to answer in terms of his off-the-field antics.
Jim, the thing that always would really deter me from the way I'd evaluate a quarterback is a quarterback coming out of a flashcard system like Oregon where they just show the signs and then they read them and everybody looks at what their responsibility, as opposed to the terminology that comes out of the quarterback's mouth that sometimes is a paragraph long. You have to know what it means to every one of those other 10 guys. You hope they know it at the same pace you do, and then you have to react to what the defense is counteracting against you. And that's the thing about it. I don't think that people know how difficult the mastering of not only the terminology, but knowing what you're saying in terms of the flashcard offenses that we see in college.
There's no doubt. There's way more principles and protections and rules in terms of offensive play in the NFL than what Marcus Mariota has really, you know, been given up to this date. And that's why you see a lot of those spread quarterbacks struggling. Colin Kaepernick comes to mind. We can go talk about RG3. That's where these guys came from, and they're finding it. It's a struggle in the NFL. Now here's the question. Can you, as a play caller, modify your offense, whether it's to a Johnny Manziel or any of these players' skill sets? And I will say this about Adam Gase. He's coached a player like this in Tim Tebow out in Denver, and they modified it. They, you know, did some things differently to take advantage of Tim Tebow's skill sets, and really that's going to be the challenge that Adam Gase or any coach in the NFL, other than, say, Chip Kelly of the Philadelphia Eagles, who coached Marcus Mariota, but how Adam Gase and says, hey, we can make this work. Not only can he learn to develop as a pocket passer, but we know that we've already done this in the past where we've called plays to modify our offense to maximize the potential of the player.
Jim, on the other side of the break, I want to ask you a question, and it involves RG3 and Jay Cutler, so get ready for that one.
And all right. What if Mariota drops to where the Bears are picking at 7? We'll discuss that next with Thayer and Miller. I'm Zaidman, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Man, this hour's flown by. There's so much to discuss as the real season has gotten underway this week with the NFL Scouting Combine underway. Jim Miller's down there for us in Indianapolis. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. You got a question about Mariota?
No. My question to Jim Miller is, being a quarterback now, Jim, this is the offseason. You're still active. Do you want to be RG3 that your head coach kind of falsely committed to? Or do you want to be the Jay Cutler that your coach is kind of challenging you to be the best that they want you to be in order for your team to succeed?
Oh, I think both are in challenge situations right now, and I think that's why you see RG3 down there working out with actually John Gruden, and Kirk Cousins is doing that as well to really, you know, the pressure is on these quarterbacks. And that's the thing is, everybody has talked about, you know, for a young quarterback, yes, you try to take pressure off him with the run game. Jay Cutler is not a young quarterback anymore. The pressure should have been on Jay Cutler all along. It's on Peyton Manning. It's on Tom Brady. It's really the opposite. The young quarterbacks are the ones that need off. So they are going to challenge Jay Cutler, and they're going to keep the pressure on Jay Cutler because he's got to earn it. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, I think that will remain. And how you keep that pressure on, and Zach, you asked the question, if Mariota's there at 7, absolutely, all day long, you take Marcus Mariota.
Really?
Here's the reasons why. Here are the reasons why. And you still bring in another veteran quarterback, whether it's a Josh McCown or whoever the Bears elect to bring in, because it keeps the Bears' options open. Now they can still create a market by the trade deadline midseason if they're going to dump Jay Cutler. But it forces him that he's got to perform, not only for the Chicago Bears, but for the 31 other teams out there that potentially could trade for Jay Cutler. And the whole time, you're now grooming a young quarterback. You've got a veteran if that scenario were to take place that can step in, perform, and play. But it puts the pressure on the quarterback to perform.
Wow. See, because I would think that bringing in a spread quarterback and having him run a pro-style offense, it takes time. It is difficult to do immediately, which means you're asking for patience. No one in the NFL has patience anymore.
Well, here's the scenario, though. You're not asking Marcus Mariota to start right away. Jay would be the starter to start the season. You'd still have a veteran backup, whether it's a Josh McCown or another guy that the Bears bring in that can step in and play at a moment's notice. All the while, you're developing young Marcus Mariota. But in terms of the evaluations, and I mentioned that workout that the Bears would be able to put Marcus Mariota through, those are going to be the decision makers that decide and are going to make the give them all the info that they need to make that decision. Meaning, yes, we believe we can coach him up in a 5-step drop to go through a progression read. He's got the skill set to do it, and we believe it, and thus they'd have the opportunity to take him if they elected to take him at the number 7 spot.
See, it sounds great, but the problem is that Cutler has a deadline, March 12th. If he's on the team, that means the 2016 money is guaranteed. And that adds a little wrinkle to the plan.
The trade deadline is in, what is it, the end of September?
Yeah, during the season, yeah.
During the season. And that can be negotiated with the team that potentially they could trade him to. Create the market is what it would do.
I like Jim's thinking. Always thinking three steps ahead. Jim, great stuff. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
good to be with you.
Tom Thayer, thank you. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks a bunch for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're back next week, Thursday at 6 o'clock, right here on The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.